Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. So this episode is all about our network of executive women. Excited to feature a conversation I recently recorded with the president and vice president of NEW, that's the network of executive women, Sarah Powell, who's the president, as well as Hannah Poland, who is the vice president. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. We talk with Sarah and Hannah about their backgrounds, how they decided to pursue an MBA, what led them to Darden, and of course, what they're excited about with NEW in the coming year. So without further ado, here is my interview with Sarah Powell and Hannah Poland. Sarah, Hannah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. I was reflecting, talking with some of your classmates recently. I cannot believe your class is effectively like halfway through the program. We are having this conversation on the eve of a Charlottesville weekend for the class of 2022, an exciting time to be sure, but y'all are like halfway through. How does that feel, Sarah?
It feels a little unreal. It feels a little crazy. It hasn't really hit me. It dawned on me after we finished finals, or the final period was over on Sunday. All of a sudden we're officially second years now, and it's half of this program is gone in a flash. So as difficult as it is and how long the days are, it really has gone by so quickly, and you know that it's just going to be, you know, and in the blink of an eye, it'll all be done. So trying to just enjoy what remains of this program and the time that we all have together.
Well, we tell people that all the time, that you pick up this momentum in the program. You don't have a lot of downtime to kind of think about what's the next thing. There's just another thing and another thing. And then eventually you're at graduation. Hannah, how are you feeling about where you are in the program, officially now a second year student?
I have to agree, Sarah. You hear everyone telling you that it goes by fast. So take advantage of what you can take advantage of. But, during exams, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I can't actually get all of this done at once. And then you look up and we're halfway done. So I have to agree. It's wild.
Yeah. It's this interesting thing where we try to tell students to pace themselves, right? There's this tendency when people start the program to feel like I have to do everything right now. And you're like, you've got time. But then when people get into the program, they start to say things like, I don't know, it's moving very quickly. I don't know if I have enough time. You do have enough time. You will get it all accomplished. You'll fit it in. But it's an exciting time. I'm excited for your class. I'm looking forward to this weekend. I think what's amazing for me from an admissions standpoint is this will be the first time I've met some of your classmates in person, actually seeing them in person because of the unique nature of pandemic and the recruitment cycle for your class and onboarding and all this kind of stuff. I am really pumped about that. I'm sure y'all are excited as well to see some of each other in person for the first time, maybe. Hannah, is that appeal, does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been in such a unique position of really being in class with our peers and getting to know them from a virtual sense, and then for the first time meeting them in person. And, you know, I just met Sarah in person at our last OGR in Roslyn, and it's such an interesting experience. You think you know someone and you think you've talked to them and you have this picture that you built in their head, and then they show up and it's like meeting someone for the first time again. And I don't know, it's added this next level and layer of real just excitement about the program and knowing that we're all doing this together. And I think that that's just why we're so excited to see each other in person, because it's been great doing it virtually. I can't imagine what it's like to be doing this all together. So we're looking forward to it, I think.
Well, your classmate, friend of the podcast, Caroline Darney, she's been on the podcast before. I think one of the first members of the class of 2022 to be on the podcast. She said that there was a running sort of debate within the class as to who the tallest person might be. Maybe you started to settle in on who that person might be. I just thought that was really funny because, of course, Zoom, you can't tell. So you just have to guess. Sarah, I see you nodding. Did you have any thoughts as to who the tallest person might be?
No, I'm just laughing because this is for whatever reason, probably because there's so much mystery around what we all collectively look like and how we all sort of collectively stack up against one another in height. There is a lot of banter going back and forth about who is the tallest. I think Bob McMurtry might have it. He is, I think, the tallest person in our cohort that I have met in person. I know that it is not me. definitively. So, but yes, it is funny what you start to fixate on when you haven't actually met everybody in person.
Well, we'll try to do our part here on the podcast. When we have your classmates come on, we'll ask people to declare their height before we begin the interview, and we'll slowly amass that kind of information. So I thought that was really funny. Bob, of course, has been on the podcast too. So we did not ask him how tall he was. It's a missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity, for sure.
Well, thank you both for taking time out of your busy schedules to be here and to share more about your experience. In the first half of this conversation, we'll talk a little bit more about your backgrounds, what you're doing currently, decision to pursue an MBA, and ultimately, you know, what led you to Darden. In the second half of the conversation, we're going to talk a little bit about an organization that our podcast listeners likely know pretty well. We've had leaders of this organization, the Network of Executive Women, on the podcast basically ever since the club was launched, and it's actually one of our oldest executive MBA student organizations. We have now 7 official executive MBA student organizations. The Network of Executive Women, NEW, is one of them. Excited to have a new leadership board. There's a lot of newness here. You'll pick up on that over the course of the podcast conversation. But before we get to that, let's talk about you. So Sarah, I'm going to come to you first with this question. Tell us a little bit more about your background and what your current role is.
Yeah. So I am currently in ad tech. So Hannah and I were discussing before this. I recently started a new position at Oracle. I'm about 3 weeks in, and I am leading a product strategy for TV. And so that sort of encompasses all of our ad tech, martech products and trying to figure out how we make all of that work in the lens of TV, or how we sort of flex the sort of best in class products that we have amassed either through building or acquisition for TV advertisers, or for, you know, any kind of advertising in a TV-like space. So sort of brand new for me. I'm still very much in ramp up mode, but so far I love it. And, you know, my background is in advertising and technology and in media. So this is necessarily the timing that I thought it was all going to fall into place, but you sort of just figure that out through the process, that, and you just sort of go with it. So very happy to be where I'm at, and very happy to be a place that is so accepting of my journey on, and, you know, in getting my MBA. So they're fully on board and behind me in that, which is great.
Congratulations on your new role. I do this podcast just to learn about what's going on with people. That's where I get all my news. That's awesome. Well, so happy for you, Sarah. And Hannah, how about you? What's your background and what are you doing currently?
So I think I took the non-traditional MBA route. I've spent the past 10 years in education. So I started out as a teacher working internationally. I taught 8th grade. Really enjoyed that, but wanted to have a bigger challenge and address some of the larger systemic issues in education and education management. So ended up going into the consulting route. And so I currently am a higher ed consultant, and I do strategy and predictive modeling for colleges and universities and some private independent schools. So we are a really small firm just outside of Baltimore, and we help colleges think through, you know, what are the biggest challenges that you're facing right now? And of course, over the past year, it was COVID. And so getting to not only walk universities and colleges through that process of what does it look like to open our doors, to not open our doors, ensuring the safety of our students, but then also simultaneously going through it as a student with Darden, was somewhat of like a weird meta experience, but it was an amazing opportunity to see how seriously Darden took COVID, but how proactive they were about providing a wonderful experience for students. And, you know, the fact that we're all still so close and still excited to meet each other in person is a real testament to the successful way that I think Darden implemented that first year of our program through COVID. So that's where I'm at.
Well, I appreciate that point. I have to give your class a lot of credit too. We have always had this partnership view on this experience. You know, so there's program, staff, faculty, and students all collectively kind of working on the experience. And your class did a great job of kind of embracing the moment and saying, look, all right, this is challenging, but there's still ways for us to connect. Small groups, there were meetups that happened during the summer, socially distant, safely, all that kind of stuff. And it continued through the school year. UVA didn't say no social gatherings. They just said, hey, you have to be mindful of the size of the group. And the program team also found ways for students to be together learning in person, even in fully virtual weekends. And I will say your class, there was some enthusiasm for those weekends. And of course, now as things start to open up a little bit more, it sounded like there was a strong turnout for the most recent weekend residency in Roslyn. So I'm excited for your class, recognizing all that you've gone through over this past year, but really kind of made the very best of a challenging situation. So all credit to you and your classmates. How did you decide to pursue an MBA, Hannah? You had mentioned you being a bit of a non-traditional candidate. And the reality is, I think most of our candidates to the executive MBA program might think about themselves in that way, come from a lot of different backgrounds and industries, and have recognized that an MBA is something they could benefit from. How did you make this decision?
I really wanted to get the network and the skills and the experience to just go the extra mile in my career. I wanted to have an understanding of what else was out there. I think the education world is very intimate and small, and often people really know each other, and there's like a clearly defined path in terms of what you end up doing with your career. But in solving some of the biggest problems in education with regards to equity, I was looking to what larger corporations were doing. And I wanted that business acumen, and I wanted that piece of the conversation and a seat at that table to be part of making those decisions, both informed by what I had done in the classroom and in the nonprofit space. So I felt like that piece about business and how I could fit in was missing. And so pursuing an MBA was a way for me to bolster my skill set and the network to start having those informed conversations about how do we create a sustainable level of impact in education. And so the MBA was a way to approach that from a different perspective.
One of the things that you sometimes hear folks talk about when they reflect upon their decision to come to Darden is that it's going to get them out of their industry, their bubble. They're going to be around people who have done wildly different things in their careers than what you've done on it, your career. It sounds like that's something that appealed to you.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I needed to think differently, and I needed to be pushed to think differently about a lot of things. I'd never taken classes on mergers and acquisitions, but like there's so much, even just lingo and understanding backstory about why decisions are made. And even just learning from my classmates, I think has been the richest experience of learning about how other individuals are perceiving problems that I see and what they believe the solution should be. And then being able to have a collaborative network now to think differently about these problems.
And Sarah, how about you? How long have you thought about an MBA, and what ultimately led you to say, this is the right degree experience for me?
Yeah, it was, I really, a lot of what Hannah mentioned resonates with me, and it sort of mirrors a lot of how I was thinking about my progress and what the next steps were for me. I was probably a switcher, which is, our Darden lingo, before ever entering Darden. And as I started making some changes in my career and I started getting more exposure to different people and different types of leaders and different types of problems, I started to gravitate towards people with the type of experience and the type of knowledge that made them really excellent leaders. And when I tried to, figure out what it is, what was that sort of common denominator, a lot of it was, folks that had that experience of going to business school and getting their MBA and just having that grounding in that knowledge, as well as that network. So for me, it was about finding the right time, which again, there's never really a right time. You just sort of have to pull the trigger and do it. But it was such a breath of fresh air coming into this program and automatically being dropped into a cohort with the people and the experiences that I sought out on my own outside of business school. So all those people who I admired and that I looked up to and that I wanted to learn from, now I'm learning from them every single day. So it's been a wonderful experience in just my own exposure to different types of thinking and different experiences, while getting that grounding, as Hannah mentioned, acumen in sort of the business fundamentals, if you will, which has just been wonderful.
Well, I'm going to stay with you for this next question. A lot of business schools in the world. What about Darden in specific resonated with you, Sarah?
Yeah, there certainly are a lot of schools, and me coming from New York, there are certainly plenty of schools that are excellent that I could look at and consider. But for me, coming to Darden was a way to expand my network. It was a way to expand my knowledge base. I knew if I stayed in New York, or I, you know, gravitated towards programs that were maybe more geographically convenient, I wasn't necessarily going to get the breadth of experience or the exposure to people with different backgrounds than me. And that was, to me, that was really important in my experience. I didn't want to sit down in a classroom with people who worked just in my industry or had, you know, grown up in the same towns that I did. I wanted to be able to learn from people with vastly different experiences than my own. So Darden was very, very attractive from that perspective. And then, you know, I think for me, it was, you know, when you're trying to figure all this out and trying to work through, where do you want to be? What do you want the next 2 years of your life really to look like? It can be a daunting experience, and the experience of working with the Darden admissions team, and Brett, you and I met many, many times throughout this process, was hugely helpful for me. And it gave me a lot of confidence to feel like I was going to be supported throughout this process. That if I had this much support from the team, just being a potential candidate for the school, I in my mind couldn't even comprehend the level of support that I was going to get as an admitted student. And that has fully realized itself or manifested itself. So that was a big part of it as well.
I appreciate your kind words, Sarah. I remember all of our meetings in New York City in the before times. Hopefully I get to go back to New York again soon. I mean, I loved going to New York. I probably went for work like 8 or 9 times a year. So this past year has been really unusual. I'm eager to get back. We think of New York as a market where you can do our program pretty easily. You know, hop on an Amtrak. We've had students drive from there. We've even had students fly. You've got many options. It's convenient. And the schedule is not so so challenging. You know, once a month weekend residencies. You do have a couple online classes a week, but it is nice. You can kind of break away from the city for a few days and connect with some people maybe a little bit further afield than your home territory. Hannah, how about you? What about Darden resonated with you?
For me, Darden walks this line of, what do we do? What is the role of businesses in impacting the community and the environment? Not just social responsibility or, you know, ESG or volunteer efforts, but truly what is the role and commitment of businesses to our stakeholders, not just the shareholders. And so when Darden, the birthplace really of stakeholder theory is at Darden. And so when I started considering business school, one of my hangups was the false dichotomy of business bad, nonprofit good. And I talked to a Darden alum about my experience, and he said, this is only going to strengthen your understanding of the power that business can have in transforming societies and empowering stakeholders. And so I started reading and researching everything that Ed Friedman had done, and looking at the professors and looking at, you know, the business ethics curriculum and the different electives that were offered, and just seeing the power of the professors who actually care about the work that they're doing. And as an educator, that was something that I was really excited about. And it was ended up being the only school that I applied to because it was the only place that I wanted to get a degree from in terms of what my business education was going to look like and what that degree was going to say about who I was as a leader in business. And so for me, it was Darden or nothing, because I think that they are the ones who are asking these hard questions and they're preparing the leaders to think about what it looks like to be a leader in the 21st century. In ways that I have not seen other business schools ask those questions.
I appreciate your points around stakeholder theory. It's come up from time to time here on the podcast. And I do want to give a shout out for Ed Freeman's Stakeholder Theory podcast. One of the things that's launched during the pandemic. He's publishing episodes all the time. We're just weekly here on the admissions podcast. We got to step the game up. Ed Freeman out there doing work on the podcast channel. So if you're curious about stakeholder theory, you can find his podcast, Link from Darden Ideas to Action. There have been some executive MBA program VIPs on that podcast already. Yael, our fearless leader, has been on there talking about project management. It's a subject that she knows a ton about. And so check out some of his interviews. Always interesting. And just Ed Freeman, generally interesting person just across the board. So learn more about stakeholder theory and explore ideas to action while you're there. So let's talk a little bit about the network of executive women. So as I mentioned at the top, this is one of our oldest executive MBA student organizations. We're still relatively new as a program with clubs and organizations. It feels like this is something that kind of ramped up maybe about 4 or 5 years ago with clubs like NU and the Black Executive MBA student organizations. We now have 7 official student organizations. We have a number of emerging interest groups. It feels like every class comes in and says, hey, we're thinking about doing a few other clubs, which is great to see that kind of investment. So Sarah, for people who are less familiar with the Network of Executive Women, what is this organization?
Yeah, so the Network of Executive Women is, as you mentioned, it is one of the oldest, probably one of the cornerstone clubs within the Darden Executive MBA program. And it is a group of women who are really looking to support and promote women in business. And that obviously takes many different forms. And NU has certainly matured and evolved, I think, over the years with the handover of the leadership positions. But that main mission of supporting women in their endeavor and in their journey through business is really at the core of what it is that we try to do. It's a wonderful organization. It's a wonderful group of women within our cohort and that have, preceded us and will be leaders within it after us. And we definitely, hold a pretty special place within the Darden EMBA community. So very, very proud to be a part of NU.
Hannah, anything you would want to flag for our prospective students who are listening, just kind of starting to orient to what NU is all about?
I think for me, knowing that there was a community of women who were supportive in the decision to go to business school and asking a lot of those questions about is this often a male dominated space? Is there, what does it look like for women to feel comfortable and to participate in class? All of the questions that I had before attending Darden and making the decision were all answered by women who were in NU. Who are excited to share about their experiences and why this community and network was worthwhile and also how they were supported by NU. And so I guess if you have any questions or you're trying to make a decision about what is it going to look like for you to attend Darden and interact with this new community, don't hesitate to reach out because they were some of the reasons that I ended up confirming my decision and answering some of those nitty gritty questions that I asked and they were honest. And I think to know that there's a group of people who have your back is really encouraging when you enter into this 2-year executive process where you have so much other stuff going on in your life. You might have a family, you might be expecting, you might be working, you might be in between jobs, and to just know that there's a pre-existing community to support you in that and those decisions who have all gone there and gone through it before you. It should be the weight off your back to make that decision.
I appreciate what both of you have said here. We think about some of these clubs and organizations as communities within the broader executive MBA community. You both highlighted how New serves that purpose. Sarah, you're really busy. You got a lot on your plate. How did you decide that you wanted to be a leader? You're the president of the Network of Executive Women. How did you say, you know what? This is something I want to do with my time. This is what I want to be part of my executive MBA experience.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I really, truly, wholeheartedly believe in the mission of NU. It's something that even before I came to business school, you know, the role of women in business, the unique challenges that they face, and the unique opportunities to provide support and for women to provide support to other women within the space and help lift them up and help mentor and guide was monumentally important for me. I was lucky enough in my career to have that to a degree. So for me, there was really only one choice of a club or an organization that I wanted to sort of step into that role for. As you mentioned, we all have a lot going on. And it wasn't a decision that I took lightly. I understood that, you know, the responsibility that's associated with it. And just as Hannah mentioned that, you know, she had wonderful conversations and guidance from new members. I got the same guidance from the new leadership team. I reached directly out to Caroline Clark, who preceded me as a new president. And, you know, she was really, really wonderful in providing a lot of feedback and a lot of encouragement, frankly, that this is something that could be done and it could be done, you know, well. And so that was really, really helpful for me to, again, and it just really solidified again, the sort of purpose of this club and its mission and how we support one another. And so, for me, it was, I don't want to say it was a no brainer, but, it was the only club that I really wanted to dedicate this much time and effort to, advancing the mission for.
Yeah, Caroline Clark, three-time guest here on the podcast. So big shoes to fill. Sarah, we're going to have to get you back on the podcast a few more times. Same for you, Hannah. One of the things that's been great about the new leadership is they've always been willing to share their time and experience and blog posts and podcast interviews and been really great partners to us through the admissions process. So, Hannah, how about for you? I mean, you're also equally busy. You got a lot going on, and here you are, the vice president of the Network of Executive Women. What led you to say, you know what, I want to be involved in this way?
Well, I do have to say that I'm so glad that Sarah is leading us as our fearless leader, because I know that in talking to some of the other women, we were just, I think she emerged as an early leader in terms of being a resource and someone that we trusted. And pioneering a lot of the conversations that we wanted to be having. And so I think knowing that she was interested in pursuing leadership also was, I was excited to support in that role, because I wanted to, like she mentioned, learn from other women who are in leadership positions, but then also be the support and anchor for a lot of women who are coming in and asking these questions. I think it is helpful for people who have gone through the process to be able to serve as support for those who are, you know, trying to ask these questions about what's next. But I also just wanted to, like Sarah said, just be a part of something that I think is so valuable and needed in our communities. I really struggled to find mentors, female mentors in my work. And that was something that I think the process of asking and looking for a mentor and what is that relationship between like a friend and a mentor, and how often do you go seek that individual? I mean, I think that those are questions that a lot of women are asking, and a lot of times they don't naturally happen. And so how do we seek those things out? And so making those resources and those activities or things that, you know, we want to participate in more accessible is 100% something that I want to make happen and advocate for and support the other women in our cohort who are just excited about leading forward and making these resources accessible.
All right. So you've come in, you're the new leadership team. There are other folks on the leadership board, we should note. you are the two folks though on this podcast. So what are your goals for the year ahead, Sarah? I'm sure you've started to do some preliminary planning. It's still early days, but what's on your mind as you think about new in the coming academic year?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the wonderful things about new and the opportunity that it presents as being a network rather than simply sort of a club in my mind is not only are we in a position to, as Hannah mentioned, provide that support and that space for women to explore and to ask questions and to support one another while they're in Darden and while they're in this 2-year program, but it really does lend itself to creating this lifelong network of like-minded women who are leaders in their space and have gone through this exact same experience. So for us, one of the pillars of what we're trying to do in our tenure over the next year is how do we create the infrastructure for that ongoing support and those ongoing connection points beyond Darden. Once we are all fingers crossed, all finished in May of 2022, how do we make new live on for all the members, past and present and future? So that's a big focus. One of the interesting focuses for this year and coming into summer and fall certainly is what does new and our Darden community look like now that we can be in person? We have not up to this point. So there were lots of different, I would say, norms and different sort of touch points that a lot of our predecessors had as a club or as a group and even as a cohort. And so for us, reimagining how do we now know new, if you love alliteration, in this new world where we can actually be together, what do events look like? How do we want to actually spend that time? What's going to be most valuable? So we still have, a fair amount of intake, I think, to do in that sense, trying to gauge when people are going to feel fully prepared. Maybe it's not the summer, maybe it's when we begin fall and everybody is sort of going to essentially be coming back full time. So that's a big focus. And then, we have some connection and we want to grow our connection with the residential counterparts that we have. I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to work across the residential program, GWIB, and partner with them in different events and certainly in some mentorship, knowing that the women within new are in a different place potentially in their lives and in their careers. And how can we leverage that difference of experience through the connection of Darden to the benefit of both of those groups?
Well, I have to give you credit. It's not the easiest thing on the podcast to say now, no, new, back to back to back, but level of difficulty is high on that. This was figure skating. You quite a high score. So just for the record, I appreciate all your points about kind of rethinking, what's possible. I mean, you've been virtual for a while here, and so now things are opening up. And you are inheriting like a lot of great work was done by the past new leadership teams. But every class comes in, kind of puts their own stamp on it, and that's the best thing about student organizations is UVA has a student self-governance model where students are really directing a lot of this extracurricular experience. So Hannah, what's on your mind as you plan for the coming year?
Well, I mean, I think Sarah really touched on the things that we're trying to look into this year. So I don't really have anything to add other than I think one of the things that I'm most excited about is the relationship with the Graduate Women in Business Club, with the full-time students, because of the conversations of where students are in their points in their lives, as Sarah was talking about. I mean, I think some of the greatest help that I've had is asking questions about navigating life and work and family and relationships and things like that. And then also to be able to talk to women in different parts of their careers to hear about how that is going, but also not just to learn, but also how can that change the way that we're thinking about leading and the way that we're thinking about supporting our own employees. And so I think that that is going to be so valuable. And that's just a piece that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, for our listeners, one of the challenges of being a prospective business school student is you have to wade through like this alphabet soup of acronyms. I mean, the courses get abbreviated, clubs and organizations get abbreviated. So for those people keeping score at home, GWIB equals the Graduate Women in Business Club. NU is the Network of Executive Women. I think we mentioned BIMBA earlier. That's the Black Executive MBA Student Organization. Got a few more abbreviations. We'll try to keep that in mind as we go along here. But if you're keeping up, you're doing a great job. So, all right. So last question for you. We always kind of ask the same last question of all our guests here on the podcast. Piece of advice, maybe some words of counsel for our listeners starting off on their MBA journey. Hannah, what would you share here?
Don't be afraid. I think what I did when I first started or before we started, I wrote down everything that I wanted to do and why I was making this decision. And I keep that because I keep looking at it. As you mentioned, you know, it goes by so fast. And so to look back and just check and see, you know, am I accomplishing what I set out to do? And if I'm not, what am I doing differently? And how is that exciting? Like, it just really helps you put into perspective how much you've grown and how much you've expanded really throughout the time that you've been here. So that's just a fun piece of advice to do when you're making this decision. Like, what, you know, what are the reasons you're doing this? And then continue to check back on it and see how it's really have you grown.
I love that advice. I'm a former student affairs professional. So for a few years of my professional career, worked with law students. And that's the thing that we used to tell them to do, because sometimes it can get a little murky in law school. Life's really busy. You're juggling a lot of things. Remember why you started down this path. Check back in with those initial impulses, particularly when things get kind of heavy for you. You're really busy. You're feeling like you got a lot going on at home and at work and school. Just remembering why you took this step in the first place and checking back in can be really, really valuable for folks.
It helps you prioritize too. If you're up against trying to figure out, oh, I want to join this club and this club, and I want to join the E-Cup, but I want to do this. Being able to go back when you were clear-headed about it and think about, okay, what was it that I'm really trying to do here? And how can I prioritize what I want to get accomplished?
That's great advice. Sarah, how about you? Any words of wisdom you'd like to share here?
I don't think that it's unique. I think that this is probably pretty tried and true and advice that I think many before me have given, but don't expect that you're going to be able to do everything on your own. One, it is built into the fabric of this, of the coursework itself and in the case method, that the expectation is you will not be doing everything by yourself. You will be working with your learning teams. You will be working with your cohort and your classmates and teaching each other just as much as you're teaching yourself or being taught by a professor. So it's fine to say you need some help or to let yourself off the hook when you've been circling the drain a little bit on one model perhaps, and you need to reach out for help. It is fine and it is encouraged. And, you know, I think sometimes I was even, you know, speak for myself. This is a highly competitive program. There are a lot of type A's that, you know, are used to being the top at what they do. And it takes a little bit of getting used to, but once you recognize that there are so many other resources here, you do not need to be the best at every single thing that you do. You can lean into those resources. You will be a resource undoubtedly for others. So it is fine to ask for the help that you will in turn be asking for. So to me, that was a big wake up call. People told me that going into this, that you're not going to be able to do everything on your own. And I said, yeah, sure. But in the back of my mind, I figured I'll be able to do it, but you can't. So the sooner you accept it and the sooner you lean into working collaboratively and understanding that it is a huge part of the process, the better you'll be.
I appreciate your point. I mean, Allison Williams, who joined us, gosh, it feels like a long time ago here on the podcast, but she talked about this sort of dichotomy of like, you have all these really incredibly talented people, very motivated. It's a highly motivated group of people doing an executive MBA program, particularly at a place like Darden. But yet there's also this emphasis on collaboration. So it'd be one thing if it was just like, straight out competitive, but it's not. People are motivated. Yes, people, you know, it's a very, very capable group, but you choose this program because you want to work with other people and you want to help each other. You want to share each other, share your expertise. You want to learn from other people. That kind of culture is a big part of the DNA here.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, Sarah, Hannah, it's always great catching up with you. And thank you for sharing your experience with our listeners. If someone wants to learn a little bit more about New, Sarah, how do they do that?
If you want to know a bit more about New, you can reach out to either Hannah or myself. We also have a new alias that I'm sure we can link to this particular episode. And we will be on top of getting back any kind of feedback that we can, but don't feel like you have to go through just the new alias and be all that formal. Hannah and myself and the rest of the members are available and willing and able to answer any questions that you might have. So don't hesitate to reach out.
And that was my interview with two leaders of our network of executive women, as well as also two students in our executive MBA class of 2022, Sarah Powell and Hannah Poland. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, mba@darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.